Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices, so they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man, dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place that they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite the youth to come forward for the children's message at this time. Good morning. You can sit right up here. That'd be great. Great to see you all here this morning. Do you remember how we started the worship this morning? I said a little phrase and everyone else responded to me. It was, "Christ is risen," and the whole congregation, and you responded, "He is risen indeed. Alleluia." What do you think alleluia means? Any ideas? Yeah. Another word for hallelujah. Exactly. Hallelujah is from the Hebrew and alleluia is from the Greek. Two different words, but they mean the same thing. And it means praise God. Praise God is what we're saying when we say alleluia. It's a joyful exclamation that we're praising God, thanking God that raised Jesus from the dead. During the season of Lent, which was the previous 40 days of the church year just before Easter, we didn't say alleluia. We kind of buried it, put it aside, because Lent is kind of that season for reflection on our need for God. And now that Jesus has been raised from the dead, we shift focus and we're celebrating the resurrection and we're celebrating and praising God for that. The gospel ended, I thought, in a really interesting way today. The gospel of Mark ended with, "So they went out and fled the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid." Have you ever been speechless before? Anything ever happened to where, yeah, anything come to mind? What was the one time for you?
This year,
Super Bowl, okay. Yeah, and anyone else? Some time when you kind of just felt speechless, you were so amazed. It doesn't happen too often, yeah. Okay, when you were fishing, yeah. Another one? Like, I'm sorry. Okay. There's times when we're just amazed, and that was what happened to Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, when they came to the tomb. The tomb was empty. The person who was at the tomb, perhaps an angel, said, "He is not here. He is risen." And then later, they told him he's on into Galilee, and that's when they first saw Jesus after the resurrection. So Mark's gospel is a little bit different there. And it's a surprise and amazement. And we know the rest of the story, so we celebrate and praise God by saying alleluia, or hallelujah, whichever way you express that word. What kind of a cookie would go with the resurrection? Yeah.
A cross.
A cross, sure. Anyone else? A stone would work, because the stone got rolled away, right? Yeah. A picture of Jesus, or a shape of a person? Jesus, okay. Anyone else? An egg. An egg? Good? Yeah. A cross? That would be good. A bunny? Yeah. Yeah. A cross again. You're going to have to keep guessing until you get it, okay? A cross. It wasn't a cross. It was a beautiful morning this morning, wasn't it? A lot of people gathered out at Sandy Beach Road for a sunrise worship service. A sun, you guessed it. Good job. Because we celebrate the resurrection with the sun coming up on the Easter morning, right? One of the ways we celebrate. So that's the shape of the cookie for this morning. But before you have the cookie, I need your help with something. I want to teach you a song, and then I want you to help teach the congregation, and I want you to help us celebrate and praise God for this day, okay? So if you'd repeat after me, it goes, holly, 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 hallelujah, hallelujah, holly, 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 hallelujah, hallelujah. Once more. Holly, 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 hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Okay, we're going to try the whole thing. We're going to push our luck here. Holly, 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 hallelujah, holly, 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 hallelujah, holly, 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 hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. But we're going to complicate it this morning. I'm going to have you split into two groups. Kara's going to take this group going on this side of the sanctuary, and Miranda's going to take half the group and go on that side of the sanctuary, and they're going to hand you a rhythm instrument. And what I want you to do is to follow them and process, kind of dance, going up the side of the church, up on the balcony, come back down around. All you need to know is you need to follow either Kara or Miranda. And while we do this, we're going to be singing that song, and I invite the congregation to join us. It's number 172 in your hymnal, number 172, and we'll keep singing until they're back here. I invite you to stand. And I've asked Sue to play it through once because I know I missed a few notes when I sang it. You'd be seated. Good job, Adeline. Now that I have that song planted in your head for the rest of the day, grace and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. It's an old story. I don't know who told it first. It's a story about a teacher and a student who worked together on a project for a religion class at a Midwestern school. The teacher asked, "How many push-ups can you do?" Steve said, "I do about 200 every night." 200, that's pretty good, Dr. Peter said. "Do you think you could do 300? I don't know, I've never done 300 at a time. Well, can you do 300 in sets of 10? I have a project in mind, and I need you to do about 300 push-ups for this to work. Can you do it in sets of 10? Steve said, well, I think I can. Yeah, I can do it. Dr. Peter said, good. We'll do it this Friday. Let me explain what I have in mind. Friday came, and Steve got to class early and sat in the front of the room. When class started, the professor pulled out a box of donuts. These weren't the normal donuts. They were the big ones, the extra fancy ones with cream filling and frosting swirls on the top. Everyone was pretty excited. It was Friday, the last class of the day. They're going to get an early start on the weekend with this party in the class. Dr. Peters went to the first girl in the first row and asked, Cynthia, do you want to have one of these donuts? Cynthia said yes. Dr. Peters then turned to Steve and asked, Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so Cynthia can have a donut? Sure. Steve jumped down from his desk to do a quick 10. Then Steve again sat in his desk. Dr. Peters put a donut on her desk. Dr. Peter then went to Joe, the next person, and asked, Joe, do you want a donut? Joe said yes. Dr. Peters asked, Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so Joe can have a donut? Steve did 10 push-ups. Joe got a donut. And so it went down the first aisle. Steve did 10 push-ups for every person before they got their donut. Walking down the second aisle, Dr. Peters came to Scott. Scott was on the basketball team in as good a shape as Steve. He was very popular and never lacking for companionship. When the professor asked, Scott, do you want a donut? Scott's reply was, well, I could do my own push-ups. Dr. Peters said, no, Steve has to do them. Then Scott said, well, I don't want one. Dr. Peters shrugged and then turned to Steve and asked, Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so Scott can have a donut that he doesn't want? Steve started to do 10 push-ups. Scott said, hey, I didn't want one. Dr. Peters said, look, this is my class, my desk, my donuts. Just leave it on the desk if you don't want it. So he put a donut on Scott's desk. By this time, Scott had begun to slow down a little. He just stayed on the floor between sets because it took too much effort to get back up. You could start seeing a little perspiration coming out around his brow. Dr. Peters started down the third row. Now the students are beginning to get a little angry. He asked Jenny, Jenny, do you want a donut? Sternly, Jenny said, no. Then Dr. Peters asked Steve, would you do 10 more push-ups so Jenny can have a donut that she doesn't want? Steve did 10. Jenny got a donut. By now, a growing sense of uneasiness filled the room. The students were beginning to say no, and there were all these uneaten donuts on the desk. Steve really had to put forth extra effort to get the push-ups done. There began to be a small pool of sweat on the floor beneath his face. His arms and brow were beginning to turn red because of the physical effort. Dr. Peter started down the fourth row. During his class, however, some students from other rooms had wandered in. They sat along the steps by the radiator on the sides of the room. When the professor realized this, he did a quick count, saw that there were now 34 students in the room. He started to worry if Steve would be able to make it. Dr. Peters went to the next person and the next. Near the end of that row, Steve continued to have a rough time. Steve asked Dr. Peters, do I have to make my nose touch on each push-up? Dr. Peters thought for a moment, well, they're your push-ups. You're in charge now. You can do them any way that you want. And Dr. Peter went on. A few moments later, Jason, a recent transfer student, came into the room and was about to come in when the students yelled in one voice, no, stay out, don't come in. Jason didn't know what was going on. Steve picked up his head and said, no, let him come in. Professor Peters said, you realize that if Jason comes into the room, you'll have to do 10 push-ups for him. Steve said, yes, let him come in, give him a donut. Dr. Peters said, okay, Steve, I'll let you get Jason's out of the way right now. Jason, do you want a donut? Jason, new to the room, hardly knew what to say, but he said, yes, give me a donut. Steve, will you do 10 push-ups so Jason can have a donut? Steve did 10 very slow push-ups with great effort, and then, bewildered about what was going on, was handed a donut and sat down. Dr. Peters finished the fourth row, started on those visitors by the heaters. Steve's arms were now shaking between push-ups, struggling against the force of gravity. By this time, sweat was profusely dripping off of his face. There's no sound except his heavy breathing, and there wasn't a dry eye in the room. The last two students in the room were two young women, very popular. Dr. Peters went to Linda, the second to last, and asked, "Linda, do you want a donut?" Linda said very sadly, "No, thank you." Professor Peters quietly asked Steve, "Would you do 10 push-ups so Linda can have a donut she doesn't want?" Grunting from the effort, Steve did 10 more push-ups for Linda. Dr. Peters then turned to the last girl, Susan. "Susan, do you want a donut?" Susan, with tears flowing down her face, began to cry. "Dr. Peters, why can't I help him?" Dr. Peters, with tears of his own, said, "No, Steve has to do it alone. I gave him this task, and he's in charge of seeing that everyone in the room has an opportunity to be at this party and to have a donut, whether they want it or not. When I decided to have this party the last day of class, I talked to Steve, and I asked him if he cared enough for you to help me throw this party. He said that he did and would be willing to do something in order for everyone to be able to attend. We decided that he would show how much he cared by offering to do 10 push-ups so that each of you could have a donut. Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so Susan can have a donut?" As Steve very slowly finished his last push-up, having done 350, his arms buckled and he fell to the floor. Dr. Peters turned to the room and said, "And so it was that God revealed his love for you by sending Jesus into our world to suffer and die and be raised from the dead so that you might know the depth of the Father's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Nothing more remains to be done to receive this gift, just like the donut. Simply claim the gift. It was God's decision to love the world, the cosmos, everyone, whether or not people wanted the gift, whether or not they've heard about Jesus, whether or not they believe in Jesus, whether or not they've entered into a relationship with Jesus. It seems to me the difficult part of grace, God's unconditional love that we don't deserve, is that there isn't anything you can do to earn it, and you have to live with that fact for the rest of your life. We're so accustomed to having to earn everything that we doubt that anything could be free. But God's love comes to us from outside of our world, and God's love is for this world, indeed, the whole cosmos. This morning, I invite you to claim once again the gift of God's love for you. After all, the resurrection is about restored relationships, our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, our shortcomings, our self-centeredness, our sins are forgiven, and our relationships are restored. A few weeks ago, someone showed me a picture of a beautiful new baby and his mom. It was the start of a new relationship, full of new potential and promise. Of course, as things go, one of those pictures is going to end up in a purse or a billfold to share with others as a reminder of this gift of life. That's the way it is with God, too. It could be said that God's got a big billfold with your picture in it. There's also a family picture somewhere, but only God has a big enough room to display it. This Easter, I invite you to claim the gift of God's victorious love. Because Jesus lives, someday you too will be raised from the dead to live with the Father forever. Claim it every day as you remember your baptism, daily confessing your need for God, daily remembering that God has claimed you to be his own. God is the only one who can ever be convinced that we are hopeless, for God created us little less than the angels. God is the one who is irresponsible enough to keep giving us chances that we don't deserve. We all know our shortcomings, things we wish we would have or wouldn't have done. We gather today to hear this amazing news that God raised Jesus from the dead, and someday God is going to make you and I and all things new. You've been adopted into that family. This God wants to be in relationship with you. This God wants you to be in that big picture. But God also wants others to be in that picture. Perhaps that's why the Gospel of Mark ends without the disciples seeing Jesus. Mark doesn't leave Jesus at the empty tomb, but tells the women that Jesus is not here, but he'll meet them in Galilee. The resurrection isn't the end of the story for Jesus, the women, or the disciples. It's not the end of the story for us either. Today we celebrate Easter, Jesus being raised from the dead. But of course, tomorrow is Monday, and the story continues. In the end, the resurrection, Easter, doesn't mean much if it has little to do with how we live and for whom we live. We're called to live beyond Easter. There's more work to be done in the world, the hungry to be fed, justice to be secured for those oppressed, for peace to reign over war, for the sick to be visited, for those suffering in body, mind, or spirit to have their hope restored, for senseless shootings to end, for the lonely to be comforted, for the marginalized or victimized because of their race or sex to be respected and treated fairly, for the homeless and the refugees to find community, in essence, for all lives to be restored. May the resurrection empower us to care for those that know that Jesus died and rose for them, and for those that don't yet know that Jesus wants them to be in that big picture. Amen. I invite you to stand for our next hymn, number 367.
Christ has triumphed.